Chris and I kind of go back and forth, and but we're not mad at each other at all. Anyway, so thanks for being here. Glad that you're here. We have been working through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians for several weeks. There's 16 chapters in the book of Corinthians. So a lot going on in this book. And so it's important that we study this book because, man, there are so many parallels to our culture that's going on in the culture of 1 Corinthians or in Corinth at the time where the church is dealing with some things. They are surrounded by paganism. They are trying to live out their faith in this paganism. They're struggling with different factions and things like that. And what's wisdom? What's true wisdom? What's godly wisdom? What's worldly wisdom? And so Paul is trying to combat that. If you remember from the first part of Corinthians, Paul talks about how some folks had come to him from Chloe's house, and they had told him there's some issues going on. And so after hearing this and probably also receiving a letter from them, Paul is writing back to the church at Corinth. And so we get this letter that we call 1 Corinthians. It's actually not the first letter Paul writes to them, because he's going to reference later in 1 Corinthians how he's already written them a letter, but that's neither here nor there. So in this letter, we've been talking about these factions, meaning that some have said, you know what, I'm of Paul. I'm on Paul's team. And some said, well, I'm on Apollos' team. And others said, I'm on Peter's team. And Paul is going through and saying, this is foolishness. This is not wisdom. Christ is not divided. Why are you divided? Paul, Apollos, and Peter are all on the same team. And so today he's gonna come back to that issue of the different groups that are there. Because what he's dealt with, he's kind of gone on a little sidetrack talking about the foolishness of the cross and how Paul came and he preached the cross, and he didn't come with flowery speech and great oratory skills. He came to preach Christ and Christ alone. Forget about all the other foolishness that surrounds you. And so now he's coming back to his point of, okay, there's factions. Let's deal with them. Let's deal with them and talk about how I'm a worker, Apollos is a worker. And so in chapter 3 is where we are today, and we're going to read chapter 3, and we're going to look at some of the truths that are there that's in chapter 3. So let's read it together. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll read through the whole chapter, which is 23 verses. Paul says this, "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready, because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like unbelievers? Whenever someone says, I am with Paul, and another, I am with Apollos, are you not unspiritual people? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believe, and each has a role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then, the one who plants neither the one nor plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now the one planting and the one watering are one in purpose, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building, according to God's grace that was given to me. I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay any other foundation that has been laid down That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost, but he will be saved. Yet, it will be like an escape through fire. Don't you yourselves know that you are God's sanctuary and the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's sanctuary, God will destroy him. For God's sanctuary is holy, and that is what you are. No one should deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, since it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the reasonings of the wise are meaningless. So no one should boast in human leaders, for everything is yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, everything is yours, and you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. Paul here talks about planting and building. And he talks about the work of the believer. And he talks about what it is that our responsibility is. And he talks about how leaders are to work together for the good of God and the good of his church. So I want to talk to you this morning. First of all, he talks about the difference between being spiritual and carnal, or in the version I read this morning. The word that he uses there is that some of you are spiritual people, but some of you are of the flesh. Now, when he used the word flesh or the word carnal, he's equating that with someone who is worldly or someone who follows their own desires and their own lusts, their own passions, their own wants, their own things that they hope to attain, as opposed to the spiritual person who is someone who is pursuing God and pursuing the things of God is pursuing holiness. And so Paul puts people in these two categories. He says you're either being carnal or fleshly, unspiritual, or you're being spiritual. You're being mature. You're seeking out the things of God. You can either be spiritual or you can be worldly. You can be spiritual, you can be carnal. And Paul says, the folks who are in Corinth, you in the church, you're in one of these two categories. You need to make sure that you are maturing in your faith, that you are ready to be someone who really understands and works out and lives for the good of God and not someone who is seeking after yourself. And Paul uses this language of a mother feeding a child. He said, I should be feeding you meat, the good stuff. He said, but you're still a baby. Got to feed you milk. You should be maturing in your faith. You should be seeking after the good of the community. You should be seeking after the good of one another. Instead, you're over here fighting over who's your leader. And you're saying, I'm with Paul, or I'm with Apollos, or I'm with Cephas, which is the name he uses for Peter. That is immature and carnal. If you want to be disunited, and you want to be someone who has factions, Paul says, you are no more than a baby drinking milk. You think you mature, you think you're important, you think you're someone who is leading the way, but you're just sucking a bottle. You're not ready for the meat. You're not ready for what it means to die to yourself. You're not ready for what it means to live your life for Christ. You're not ready to pick up your cross daily and follow him. No, you're still living for yourself. And man, if ever there was a correlation from the church in Corinth and our society today, we are those type of people. We have far too many people in the church as a whole, in the church locally, who are carnal. They think they're mature. People look at them and say, oh, you're spiritual. You're leading. You're doing these things. In reality, they're just looking out for themselves. They want things their way. They want their own passions, their own desires. And Paul says, you're nothing more than a baby sucking a bottle. Or you can have those who are seeking out God, growing in their faith, living for one another, practicing their spiritual gifts, giving back to the church, building up the church for God's glory and God's honor. We've got far too many who are carnal. We've got far too many who are immature. We've got far too many who are unspiritual. And they're championing these factions. The sad thing is, the people who are immature think they're mature. The people who are in these factions and championing these factions and saying, it's my way, it's this way, it's that way, they think that they're the leaders. And people, sadly, are looking up to them as leaders. And Paul is saying, you are the problem. If you create disunity in the church, you are the problem. If you want it your way instead of what is the best way, you want it your way. You want it, I want it like this, I want it like that. You are the problem. Now, Paul's not talking about doctrinal issues. If there's a doctrinal issue, it needs to be dealt with in a proper way. If someone's teaching wrongly, if someone is practicing wrongly, those things need to be dealt with for the maturity of the person. But Paul says, if you are just up there trumpeting your own horn and saying that it's, I'm with this group, I'm with that group, I want it this way, I want it that way. We should be doing it like this. How dare you do it like that? Paul says, you're the problem. You're the problem. You're a carnal Christian who's seeking after your own desires and your own wants. And this carnality of being someone who seeks after their own desires and their own passions, their own wills, they are the ones who are championing these factions. And it's creating jealousy, and it's creating fights and quarrels. If you're spiritual, you recognize the authority in the church is the Holy Spirit, not different groups. We don't champion ourselves by a group. We champion ourselves by a follower of Christ. And so we struggle with carnality. We struggle with our fleshly desires. That is true of us for the rest of our lives. You are going to struggle with your own passions and your own desires. You're going to struggle with fleshly desires. Paul talks about that in other places, like in Romans. And even though he talks about us being a new creation, he talks about the struggle that is within us, of where he struggles with being someone who obeys the Father and someone who seeks out his own desires. Paul even writes this. He says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. We see glimpses of that, or we can testify to that in our own life, where there are things where we know we shouldn't be doing, and we're doing it. And I don't want to do that, but I do it anyway. Or there are things I want to do, but I'm not doing. There's sin that's in my life, and I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. And there's places where I need to be obedient to God, like sharing my faith, or being loving, or being charitable, or desiring to teach, desiring to build up, and the Spirit prompts me to do that, and I say, I don't want to do it. We all struggle with carnality, or we all struggle with this immaturity and these fleshly desires. But here's the thing. If you live your life more in the carnal world than in the spiritual, there's a big problem. We are going to vacillate between our passions and fleshly desires versus being spiritual and mature. That's part of being human. That is the human condition. You will vacillate. But here's the deal. Too many think that it's okay to hang out here in the carnal world. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to focus on what I want to focus on. I'm going to champion what I want to champion. I'm going to sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. I'm going to have all the fun that I think is going to be fun. I'm going to devote my life to all of these things that are going to bring me some form of happiness, all the while feeling empty inside and never having the fulfillment that if you lived in the spiritual world and lived in obedience to God, you will find that God is the one who fills that hole. Doesn't mean this world is easy. Doesn't mean the spiritual world is easy. It is hard. It is tough dying to yourself daily. But if you live here more than you live there, there's a problem. If you become comfortable with your sin and you are not convicted by your sin and you refuse to deal with your sin, there is a problem. Because here's the truth. You cannot live as a carnal Christian and think you can sneak into heaven. There are far too many who have walked the aisle, who've been baptized, who declare that they're a Christian and live in the carnal world, devoid of obedience to Christ. They may go to church from time to time. They may have the right language, the right lingo, but they are not totally devoted to Him. They are not obedient to Him. And they think, you know what? I'm okay with Jesus because I walked down the aisle. I made a profession of faith. I was baptized. I'm a Christian. God says, if you love me, you obey me. And the sad thing is, there are far too many in the world of the carnal who think they're Christians, that when it comes to judgment, they're going to find that they never knew Jesus at all. You say, how can you say that? How can you judge someone that way? Because Jesus told us that. Jesus told us there are going to be people like that. Jesus told us our church was going to be filled with people who look like Christians but aren't really Christians. There's a parable that Jesus tells of a farmer who goes out and he spreads wheat seed in his field. And at night, the enemy comes and the enemy spreads weeds. And as they begin to grow up and the farmer looks at his crop and he's excited and says, man, things are looking great. Everything looks good. The weeds and the wheat growing side by side, looking similar. But all of a sudden, the weeds start to look a little different. All of a sudden, the wheat begins to look like wheat, but the weeds don't look like wheat. And there they are in the field, side by side. Acting the same, but when it comes to usefulness, they are not the same. And so the workers for the field owner say, you know, should we go? Should we pick all those weeds out? And the owner of the field says, no, if you go and you pull out the weeds, you're going to mess up the wheat. You're going to mess up their root system. You're going to kill the wheat too. Leave them. And when it comes to the time to harvest, when we harvest them, we'll pull out the weeds and we'll burn them. That is a parable, that is a picture of what the church looks like. There are people in the church who are legitimate believers, who are devoted to Christ, who are spiritual, who are walking with Him, and they are the wheat. But there are people inside the church who act like wheat sometimes, who look like wheat sometimes, but when it comes to the grind, when it comes to life really meaning something, they are not wheat at all. They are weeds. And you would think, God, why don't you just take those people out of the church? Get rid of them. And God said, no, we'll take care of them when it comes to judgment. They think they're wheat. They may wave in the wind like wheat, but they don't produce wheat stuff. They don't have wheat grain. You can't make flour with weeds. And weeds will be picked up and destroyed. There are too many weeds who think that they're wheat, but they've never really given their life to Christ. They've never really given their life in obedience to following Jesus. Oh, they may have been going to church their whole life. They maybe have the right language. They may know the Bible stories. But when it comes to living out their faith, they are over here in the corner world. It's all about them. I don't know which one of those you are. See, because sometimes wheat is imitated by weeds. You may be weeds pretending to be wheat. You're the only one who knows that. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Don't think that if you live in this world of carnality continuously and you never repent and be obedient to Christ, that you're going to sneak in the back door to heaven. It's not going to happen. God is not mocked. God will not be confused on judgment day. Nobody's sneaking in the back door. And Paul says, if you're causing this unity in the church, you're over here in the corner world. Get out. Rather than factions and championing these different groups, Paul says you need to see that we're just servants. We're just servants of God. And he moves on to these two metaphors. He uses two metaphors to describe the work of Apollos and himself. He says, what is Apollos? Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're just servants. We're just hired hands who go out and we throw out seeds and we irrigate and make sure there's water to the seed. I go and I tell people about Jesus, and behind me, here comes Apollos, and he tells people about Jesus. The one who plants the seed is no more important than the one who provides the water, because all they're doing is what they're supposed to be doing. They're being obedient to the master. Paul is not special because he planted a seed. Apollos is not special because he planted a seed. God is the one who's important because he is the one who made that seed grow. I recently, in the last few months, me and Amos, we're the gardeners in our family. We're not very good at it, but we try. So this year, knowing that plants are probably going to be $10 a piece, I got some seeds. And then I went and get some compost. So a couple of weeks ago at this point now, I got Amos to put compost in some cups. And we came around and we put some seeds in those cups. And we watered that. And then now what? All of a sudden there's these little green things coming up. Did I make that green thing come up? Did Amos make that green thing come up? No, all we need was put dirt in a cup and drop a seed in, put some water, and wait. We did not design that seed to grow. We didn't make that seed grow. God did. God is the one who designed that seed to do what it did. God is the one who designed the gospel to do what it does. We can tell you about the gospel. We can tell you over and over again about the gospel. But the gospel is what transforms individuals once it gets inside them. The gospel, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is what changes you. Not the guy who told you the gospel. Not the person who shared Jesus with you. They didn't do nothing but what they were supposed to do. And Paul's saying this, why do you champion me? Why do you champion Apollos? It's not about us. We just did what we're supposed to do. We need to be careful that we don't put people on a pedestal for doing what God has called them to do. We don't put people on a pedestal for being obedient to God. We should all be obedient to God. You don't say, I'm Joshua's. Who is Joshua? I'm this group's, yay for me. Because when we stand before the throne of God, guess what? Paul's not going to be with you. Apollos is not going to be with you. Joshua is not going to be with you. It's only between you and God. And Paul's saying, I'm nobody. All I did was share the gospel. All Apollos did was come behind me and share the gospel again. Who cares who you listened to and fell in love with Jesus under? It doesn't matter in the end. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Now, yes, it's good to have a leader who's obedient. Yes, it's good to have a leader who follows God. Those are important aspects. But in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to your faith, who led you to Jesus? When it's just you and Jesus, who matters? It's not going to be Paul. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Apollos. They've got their own audience with Jesus. Paul says, look, I planted, Apollos watered. Apollos watered some, I planted others. We were just obedient. And then he shifts metaphors. He goes from the forming metaphor to the building metaphor. And it's interesting, Peter uses a similar metaphor in the book of 1 Peter when he talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone and that we were built on the apostles and how we are God's temple. Here was Paul says, look, I laid a foundation like a master builder, someone who knew what they were doing. He's not giving himself credit. What he's saying is the foundation is good. The foundation is proper. The foundation is sufficient. The foundation is Jesus. You don't need nothing else. If somebody comes behind you and lays another foundation, you are in trouble because Jesus is the only foundation you need. He said, and I came in to Corinth and I laid the foundation. Apollos came into Corinth and he preached Jesus. He laid a proper foundation. He's saying, and after I came, some others came in and began to build on it. And he starts talking about some building materials. Building materials that you and I don't use, like gold and silver and precious stones. But then he talks about some building materials that you and I are a little more used to, like wood, or maybe we don't use straw, but we are at least familiar with the idea. And you say, who in the world is using gold and silver and precious stones? Those who are building temples use gold and silver and precious stones. And when you're building up another person, the foundation has been laid and you're still building into their life. What kind of material are you using? Are you using material that creates a temple? Or are you using the kind of material that you just build a house with? Wood and hay and straw are sufficient for a house. But gold and silver, precious jewels, is what a God deserves. So Paul is there picturing himself and picturing other people like Apollos and Peter. And they're building up this temple. They're building this building. Saying that the foundation has been laid. The gospel has been presented. The truth is known. Jesus is all you need. But then we begin building on top of that things about how we should love one another, how we should forgive, how we should live in harmony with one another, how we should share our gifts with one another, how we should be Christians who hold each other accountable, who maybe call out sin in someone's life in a loving way, not in a way to hurt them, but in a way to bring them to Christ. Someone who is genuinely living in community with one another. How are we building up one another? What kind of stuff are you letting in your life? How are you building into your life? Are you using gold and silver and precious jewels? Are you saying, you know what, wood and hay and stuff like that, that's going to be good enough. I'll be a building. Paul says, here's the deal. When you stand before God, he calls it when the day comes, the day of the Lord. When that day comes and you stand before God, we're going to see what you're really built out of. And he uses the metaphor of burning. You put gold, you put silver, you put precious jewels through fire, they come out as gold, silver, precious jewels. You put wood or hay or stubble through fire, they come out as ash. And Paul's saying, here's the deal. In your life, when you live in a spiritual way, when you are living in the spiritual world, when you are living in obedience to God and in community with one another, you are building your life up with gold and silver and precious jewels. But when you are over here in the carnal world, you're tacking up wood. You're saying, that's good enough. I just need to make it to the day. And there will be judgment. Our actions, our desires, our passions, our want-tos are going to be seen by God for what they are. It's not that they're not seen by God for what they are, but we are going to see them for what they are as well. And what kind of life have you built? Is it a temple worthy of the God of the universe? Or is it something that's just made with wood, straw, leftover materials that in the end are useless and ash? Or will it survive the fire? When it survives the fire, you get the reward. Now, what's the reward? Paul doesn't really go into it. But I tell you this, spending eternity with God is all the reward you need. So as we close, I want to ask you to think about this idea of building into others, of laying on the foundation of Jesus. You've heard the gospel. You know the gospel. What are you letting being built in your life? And what material are you using in the lives of others? Ask yourself this. Am I building up my fellow believers in my church, with quality bricks of humility, of contentment, being okay with where I am, being okay with what God gives me? Am I being patient? Am I persevering in the faith? Or do I give up easy? Am I someone who builds others up with love? And do I have integrity? That's the stuff that's made out of gold and silver and precious jewels. What it means to be a Christian. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount, those are the things of how we should live as believers. Those are the things we should have in our life. When Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 6, love, joy, peace, patience, perseverance, long-suffering, self-control. Those are the bricks. Those are the stones. Those are the precious metals that our life need to be built out of. Those are the things that make a worthy temple. Or am I contributing maybe some poor quality works in my local church? Like, am I full of pride? Am I full of my own ambition? I want to make my way to the top. I want to be the leader of my own faction. Is there impatience or weakness or maybe some bitterness in your life? Is there disharmony that you are creating or being a part of? These are the things like wood and straw and hay that destroy and are burned up. Are you neglecting ministry opportunities that could be building up your other local church members? What are you neglecting? How can you get involved? You can ask yourself, how have I failed to see my local church with the same love and priority that God sees it? Do you see other believers with the same love and importance that God does? Do I see them as temples of God? Am I building good things into them? Or am I just seeking after my own carnal lifestyle? Am I truly giving with my whole heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength to God's service? What are the things that I'm focusing on with the greatest affections? What are the things that I'm giving the most attention to? It's easy to make excuses of why you don't go to church. It's easy to make excuses. This happened, that happened. I've got a runny nose today. My toe hurts tomorrow. Whatever it is. I got bad news yesterday. Whatever you want. I need to sleep. I'm tired. Your participation, your love for one another is the gold and the silver, and the precious metals. Or are you showing people that you're just someone who throws up something on the wall? Some old used wood, some hay, some stubble. And then when God examines your life, it's not a place that's welcoming to Him or welcoming to His church. Paul says it's not about you. It's about how you live for God and for others. I want to challenge you. As members of a local church, people need you. People need you to show up. People need you to participate. People need to hear how God is moving in your life. People need to see your love. They need to see how you've overcome carnality. They need your prayer. They need your wisdom. They need your love. They need your patience. They need to see your perseverance in the sight of a world that is going awry and is calling you to go with them. And too many of us are happy to hang up an old used shingle instead of struggle in the spiritual and the mature and build lives that are made of gold and silver and of precious stones. Where are you? What are you doing? I don't know. I can't answer for you. You can only answer for me. As Chris plays, will you spend some time searching your heart, searching, praying, seeking the Father, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you whether you're building with wood or whether you're building with gold and silver. Father, I pray that you would give us the ability to see what kind of materials we're working with. And that sometimes it's harder to work with the good stuff than it is with the mundane and the usual. It's easy to follow our passions and desires, our fleshly wants. It's harder to mine for the gold and for the silver and for the precious stones. But God, help us to see that you are worth the good stuff. That our fellow believers are worth the good stuff. The patience, the love, the integrity, the perseverance, the maturity, the sacrifice. God, help us to build temples that are worthy of you and not those that'll burn up one day and just end up as ash. In your name we pray.